one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Out on the hills of glory land, so happy and free at God's right hand, they tell of a place of marvelous grace called heaven's right shore. Pilgrims of earth someday will go to live in that home forevermore, by trusting in Him who died for sin and rose from the grave.
On heaven's bright shore,
there'll be no dying
over there.
Not one little grave
in all that fair land, that wonderful land.
Not even a tear
will dim the eye.
Up there will say goodbye,
just singing his praise through endless days on heaven's bright shore.
That heavenly shore,
when I must
cross that rolling tide,
someone will be
on the other side to welcome my soul to that fair land, made perfect by love.
As I walk
up that Milky Way,
I'll see that home
coming in a ray. How great it must be for angels to see a pilgrim reach home.
On heaven's bright shore, there'll be no
dying over there.
Not one little grave
in all that fair land.
Not even a tear
will dim the eye,
and no one up
there will say goodbye, just singing his praise through endless days on heaven's bright shore.
That heavenly shore, on heaven's bright shore, there'll be no
dying over there.
Not one little grave
in all that fair land.
Not even a
tear will dim the eye,
and no one up
there will say goodbye, just singing his praise through endless days on heaven's bright shore.
I call your attention to some texts, three, that I'd like to speak on. I've been reading through the book of Deuteronomy, and I found this verse, and we'll connect it with the other two. And as you've heard me say before, more and more, the Lord is teaching me to preach by faith and to live by faith. The Bible says, now the just shall walk by faith. And I've arranged the verse, now the just, this part of the just shall fly by faith. We've been studying to fly a twin-engine plane, but these are the verses I'd like to share with you. The 20th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 19 and 20. It could be possible that you've never heard a message preached on either one of these verses, and I'm sure you've never heard one to fall from my lips on these two verses. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time, in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees, thereof by forcing an axe against them. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest, that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down. And thou shalt build the bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. I'd like to call your attention to the 19th verse, just a portion of that which the King James Version has in parenthesis. For the tree is man's life. There's life in the tree. He said, don't cut it down. Only that tree which will not sustain life or give life or bring life, he said, cut that one down. There never was a time when we needed to clear a bunch of trees out, and yet there never was a time when we needed to leave one tree. I mean, there's one tree. I want to call your attention now to the book of Genesis. This is that sad, tragic, pitiful story and record. And while they sang some of the great hymns, these verses and some of these words came to my mind. In the third chapter, we find the introduction to the undertaking department, or the need for it. We find the entrance of death, because we find the entrance of sin. We find the cause for every falling tear, every broken heart, every shattered hope, and every destroyed home and confidence. I want to speak on the daddy of dope addiction and why is our youth, at least 50% of it, on some form of dope tonight. Why does the average person who dies today die a victim of dope addiction? Is there no bomb in Gilead? Is there no physician here? Has the one who spoke healing and deliverance and gave victory to the defeated, are his enemies correct when they say he really is dead? Did Jesus really get up out of the grave? And if he did, have they carried him back to it? Mothers and daddies are becoming concerned. Great entertainers across the country whose children have died of dope addiction. The movie actresses, not a few, and actors, not a few, have died because of their own dope. The singers of our generation, some of the popular singers, have been killed by this merciless monster of dope. The judges, the courts, the president, the legislators have all become interested, seem like, and yet absolutely nothing has been done or ever will be done until we bring the dope addicts to Jesus. simple, you say? Yes, but it works. We're spending our wheels as well as our money trying to get anybody delivered from the habits of sin without a trip to the Savior. There is no remedy for sin apart from Christ. I'm speaking on the one tree that has the limbs of hope hanging on it. In the third chapter of Genesis, I'll not read all of it, but beginning at verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And the snake has become the most despised part of God's creation. There's something strange about anybody being a snake lover. I could never get too interested in being a snake charmer or tamer. Best way in the world to tame a snake is cut his head off. And that's usually what about everybody does. Isn't it strange that we've killed earthly snakes and welcome into the living room the spiritual or the unspiritual snake of sin? Shoots his venom into every member of the family and ruins the home, blacks out the hope. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. We're still seeing that enmity. You know what that is, don't you? That's enemy. That's the daddy of communism, right there. The snake. Communism isn't anything but infidelity. It's a godless religion, that's all it is. We're not getting anywhere fighting communism. We ought to fight the devil, and we ought to fight sin, and we ought to get people saved. We'll never save America until we save the Americans. And we'll never save any of them until we present sin in all of its blackness and Christ in all of his mercy and love. What if every church in the land would just preach and stand like the tabernacle? I guarantee you, it'd transform the cities. I'm against communism, and the best way I can prove it is to preach Jesus Christ and get people saved. I've never had one of my genuinely converted converts to ever become a communist. I've never known of a communist to get saved by the grace of God and ever go back to being a communist. Why? My dear friend, it'd be just like the prodigal son after he got home and got the best robe and a fatted calf, a ring for his finger and shoes for his bleeding feet, and that lovely restful bed and room and love in the house of his father. It'd be just like him saying, I believe I'll go back to the hog pen. I like them shucks. I like the smell of them old hogs. Oh, no, dear friend. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's a good promise, isn't it? Notice. He said, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. The devil is going to give us a heel bruise. We're going to give him a head bruise. And just to be simple and plain, I'd rather have something happen to my heel than my head. That's reading old Mother Nature many times. Hauls the poison to the feet or to the heel, and the feet swell. If she'd have carried that much poison to the head, and the head that had swelled, it'd have been over. God's promise is, though sin at its worst is a heel bruise, the remedy and the penalty for old Smutty Face is going to be a busted head. That's what he said. We have hope. Dark though this may be and seem, we still have hope that Jesus will soon come. And we'll be with him. Now, let's go ahead. I haven't found my text. Unto the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I think that verse is alive, maybe more in my heart than it's ever been before. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. I've seen that dozens and dozens and dozens of times in sorrow. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, we need to think about that. And I certainly don't mean to be light or facetious or critical or disrespectful of the wife or the woman. But we're out of Bible order. When the woman has to make a living for her husband, especially if he's well and able to work, that's out of Bible order. And there are not many women who make the money, but what become dictatorial in the home. And the husband comes and asks her if he could borrow a dollar. When the woman has her own bank account and they separate their business, I'm talking about with a God-fearing husband. I never would, if I as a woman had to make the living for a drunkard husband, I believe I'd just cut off his allowance completely. I mean that. Husband coming in, getting the last dollar of grocery money some tired wife brings home. I've seen that so many times. Notice. You listen to the voice of your wife. God had already told you what to do and what not to do. And yet you let your wife step into the place of God and speak with authority, and you did what she asked you to do. That's sin. We need to regain the authority of the pulpit on the part of the preacher, and he's to rule over his people. And second, the husband is to be the ruler in his house. He's to rule his wife. He's to rule his children. He's to be the king of the household. Now that won't work unless God is his king. And the godly wife is glad to recognize a husband like that. But that'd solve our problems. That'd stop juvenile delinquency. That'd empty the jailhouses. Adam said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns. Now we're coming closer to the text. Thorns also, and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Told us what to eat, didn't he? You don't have to make up anything. Just take it like the Bible gives it. We'd send the doctors on a vacation. The drugstores could close if we'd go back and do what God told us to do. I don't have any doubt about that. Notice, thorns shall it bring forth to who? To thee. That's to Adam. You're going to have some thorns to contend with. Now then, this is the verse that I want to preach to you on for a little while. Found over in the book of Matthew chapter 27. It's that long chapter. It's that sorrowful chapter. 66 long verses recounting that horrible scene. The trial, the miscarriage of justice. And heaven went to the courthouse and got a bad verdict. God's Son, who stood on the ledge of nowhere and spoke the ground into being that the courthouse sat on, gave the breath to the judge and the governor in Pilate's judgment hall that condemned him to die. Jesus didn't say a murmuring word. Not a word. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God. He was led as a little lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is dumb before her shearers, so openeth he not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. But thank the Lord he didn't cut me off from the land of the living. When they cut him off from the land of the living, he opened up the land of the living for me and for you. I'm talking about the old rugged tree, the most hated and despised tree that ever lifted its limbs, that tree, the old rugged tree, neglected, rejected, misused, abused, and refused. But look where we are. We stand at the end of the trail. Not just in America, the world is done for. Not a matter of whether Russia's going to live or whether America's going to survive. It's a question of where anybody's going to survive or not. But for the grace of God, I'd have no hope of surviving in this poisoned generation.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled The Tree of Life. To receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO 3201. It is important that we cover shipping and handling, so we ask for a gift of $10. And we'd also like to have today's date and the call letters to the radio station that you're listening to. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas,
78403. And to use your credit card, call toll free 1-800-772-7507. Our special offer for the month of April is Oh to Be Like Thee, a collection of songs by various artists. Some of the songs are Jesus Means All to Me, Down the Sawdust Trail, I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord, He Knows Just What I Need, The Fire Song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul, and several more. Now, when requesting this CD, ask for offer number 310, that's 310, and enclose an offering of $12. We accept credit card offers, so dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, that offer is Oh to Be Like Thee, and the order number is 310. Again, the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or to use your credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you all have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.